What's happening?
Now we can start cussing.
What's that?
I said, now we can start cussing.
Yep. It's official. Make sure we get it recorded. So, yeah, looks like just a couple people start chiming in. Olivia, you want to jump in? Where you at?
Sure. I'll give you an update. I just made an offer before the call so I can tell you how it went. I found an ad on Craigslist. Anyway, I did research. It was bought for $37,000 this last month.
Okay.
So, of course, I was suspicious because we had talked about that. That might give me leverage. And I was doing all sorts of numbers on it. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to call one guy that wants to buy in that area. And so I called Joe and I said, hey, Joe, I have a possible contract on this property coming up. They want $49,700 for it. It's last sold for $37,000. He goes, yeah, I've been looking at that property. He goes, yeah, I've been looking at it. I said, well, how much would you buy it for? He said, I'd buy it for $37,39. I said, but he wants $49,700. He goes, you know, honey, I think I'd pass on that for now. But why don't you go ahead? He's like my dad. Why don't you go ahead and put in a, I said, I'll put in an offer for $39,000. He said, why don't you go ahead and do that? He said, he's got it so overpriced. Yeah, he says it's so overpriced, he's not going to move it for that. So
yeah.
I thought, well, wasn't that great to really know? This guy bought it for the wholesale price. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It goes back to, well, he's an agent, whatever. I talked to his wife is an agent. And so I thought, well, this is smart. I'm learning from Tom to talk backwards. So I knew it was too high just because of the last sale date. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Before I went any further and said, did you do any add-ons, this and that? So I offered him nothing. And he wrote, I actually did a message because that's how he contacted me. And he said, sorry, it needs to be closer to the asking price or meet in the middle on the difference. Thanks.
Yep.
So, but that was
you know
okay.
What,
save me time.
Absolutely. Yeah, and going through the process here, getting to know the buyers. And
yep.
I mean, here's what you want. You want six buyers in your markets that are buying multiple deals a month. Find who they are. So you've got that. And then this is exactly how you can lean on them. You don't have to know. Eventually, will you know what's going on in all the pockets and the pricing? Yes. Up front, you just need a couple legit buyers.
Yeah.
And just get to know them, start a relationship, have a conversation, and then lean on them. Because they'll tell you where your pricing needs to be. Yep.
It was great. And he said, call me anytime. What did he say? I don't seem to bother him when I've called. What was the other? He's the one that wouldn't do more than 60 on that 93,000 one.
Yep. Yep.
I said, Joe, what kind of numbers do you like? He said, I got the numbers. You just tell me the property. I got everything in my head. I know when I hear it. So,
yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I love it.
So just an experienced buyer. So you need a handful of those.
Yeah, I've got several I could call. I had more than one, you know, but he was my top because he's very kind and patient. And then I put a couple offers in last week. I found a FSBO on one of my IFTs, but I ended up calling him. He goes, no, this property's not for sale, but I'd like to sell it. And so I chatted him up the whole script, and I said, well,
What does that mean, it's not for sale, but I'd like to sell it?
I don't know. And that came up for sale by owner on my
one of those.
Interesting.
So anyway, he was not motivated. He wanted 83. And so I offered 63. And he said, well, thank you for your interest. Good luck to you. And then my other offer last week was from one of those bad zip codes. This is my mystery seller who wouldn't – I offered 65 over the internet because she won't call me. And then a week later she says, oh, I accept your offer of $6,500. Then I went back to do a little more research, and I found that it's being auctioned in July. So I called the lawyer's office. And I said, can I buy this property? She goes, no, it's up for auction in July. You can't.
Right.
Yeah. So she didn't tell me anything. I mean, I had to – I know how to do some research, so I'm pretty safe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
that would have been interesting. That most likely would have all come out at through title, but interesting.
Oh, right.
So the homeowner had committed to put it in the auction.
Yes, and was trying to get some money on the side.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I just said, you know what?
Either that, or they didn't understand what they did. One of the two.
I don't think so. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I just said I don't think this is, you can't legally sell this unless you can give me someone to talk to, is what I said. So.
Right, right.
So anyway. So I'm taking away. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. It's a number of offers game, Olivia. I know you're making them. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, keep getting to know those buyers, go where they're buying. And that's
yeah,
it.
And
keep those offers moving.
Yeah, I'm trying to, and I wish I had re-skip traced some of those homes for my bird dog, and
yeah.
I called the numbers and none of them work. I'm just thinking, come on, if I could get a working number, I could really make some headway.
What are you running them through? Which service?
You know, well, I did Atelius, and then I found
yep.
a really high end guy that is a private investigator. This is how I was. And I ran a test with him. I said, can you do 10 names or whatever? And we did some kind of a deal. But even
uh-huh.
his, he said, oh, I run it through this and this and this and this and this. And I didn't get anything good off it.
Interesting.
So,
that was an interesting experiment.
Very, I thought, a private eye. And then,
right.
So I got to keep being persistent on getting the correct owners and the numbers. I've got so many houses to call. If I could get, and I don't know, maybe I need to turn to direct mail, but I've been trying to, you know, be the person making the rapport with the owner and
right.
everything. You know I could turn that over, but I'm not ready yet because I don't even know if my numbers are decent. My phone numbers are working, you know.
What's the sample size of leads? Because you should be getting pretty good numbers on about half of them through Intellius. Maybe
yeah.
just under half?
Yeah. My guy working at, my bird dog's using Intellius, so he needs
yeah.
to, I have him out in the good zip codes again, so I'm just waiting
right.
to hear back from, hopefully this week, and get rolling on about 20 houses, so.
Yeah, skip tracing is just kind of a, you know, try this sort of game. I mean, you know, where you start is with the name in the
yeah.
city in Intellius, the name in the city and state where their
yeah.
mailing address is. But if that doesn't work, try the property address. You know, sometimes you put them in and the name pulls right up. Other times you got to, you know, do a little thinking.
Yeah. And so
get
I'm
through
glad
it, so.
Yeah. So anyway, onward and upward.
Okay. Good stuff. Darren, I know you were on, you two were the first. You want to chime in?
Yeah, sure. had a really good week. My my new acquisitions manager started on Tuesday, so he worked about a half day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and ended up lining me up with two appointments already. And so he's just in one room over, so I kind of eavesdrop a little bit on his call. I hear when somebody picks up, and I kind of just eavesdrop a little bit and listen to the messages.
Right.
And
right.
So he's doing really well. The first one I want to talk about is a seller that, I mean, is so motivated. He basically just said, listen, I got two houses. They're adjacent to each other. I only owe back taxes. He's like, I don't want to
yep.
make any money. You just give me the money for the back taxes. So we ended up calling the title company. I got a lead on a, quote, investor-friendly title company.
Okay.
And when I called her, she was like, oh, you're going to have to pay for that, honey. That's like $1,000 for us to do a preliminary search, and we've got to go to four different locations, county, local, school. That she's like, we got to do all these searches. And so I basically figured out what the annual taxes are for this guy.
Right.
I think they're like $1,500 a year on one and $1,300 on the other. But he doesn't have any idea of how delinquent he is. Like, you ask him the question, and he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So another investor friend of mine, and this – so here I'm getting to the question here. The question is another one of my investor friends just said, listen, you write the purchase agreement up that just says that he's going to sell you the property for back taxes, water, and
yep.
sewer.
That's what I was just going to say. Get the agreement in place, get it over to title, and get escrow started.
And get escrow started. And then I just think I need another title company. This just didn't
probably
sound like it was going
yeah
well. Because
rule of thumb, if you get a title, because we've had O&Es pulled for, you know, $10 to $20, or they just pull it if you have a relationship and they just kind of build it into your next closing. So, yeah, kind of a rule of thumb. If you don't get an answer you want or are looking
yeah
for it, you know it's possible, call a different title company.
Yeah.
Or agent or whatever.
Sure, sure. So I don't know if it's because of all the title work I do here in Cleveland, but if I have a deal fall apart, they don't call me up and say, oh, you owe us for the title work. They just,
nope,
they just, you
just
know,
part of
she
it
said, oh,
yep.
She says, you need to pay for this up front, $500 deposit, and then if we don't close, you lose it. So, but so anyway, that's
yeah,
one deal. Yep.
Just open it with a contract and have an agreement with the guy that says, hey, we got to figure out what taxes are. And then once
right
we figure that out, then you still get to determine, and this is what needs to be in the paperwork, you still get to determine if that price works for the purchase. Do you know if he's willing to bring money to the table to get rid of him?
Oh no, he's walking from this stuff. He doesn't care
okay
anymore.
So what do you what's either ARV or rents on both of them on the $1,500 and $1,300 a year taxes? I mean, what if
I've not
gotten
that
yet
far?
Okay.
I did a quick Zillow search just to see what the Zillow estimates are in the area, and they're between
yep
60,000 and 80,000 for the area.
So that's the thing. I was going to say, well, I mean, what if he's 10 years in arrears, something like that? Does
it's like
it still
10,000
work? What if he's 15?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So
right. That's the thing
10,
is, even if you go back 10 years, right? I mean, 15,
yeah,
15 grand and 13 grand?
Right, exactly.
So.
They're good
yeah
deals. And I mean, I'm super
it
happy.
Seems like
the
it
guys, yeah, he's really good on the phones. He's been. So the question is, though, is he says, you know, he's in this office. He wants to come to this office just so that he can
uh-huh
learn. He wants to get his little fingers into everything else that we're doing. He's like, oh, look, give me some other stuff to do, too. And I want to keep him on the phone, though. And he wants
yep
to, like, so I don't know if I should make a deal with him where I say, look, come to the office a couple days a week, make calls, and then if you want to spend a few hours doing some other stuff, I could pay you hourly to do whatever. But I'm trying my best to keep them just on the phones and.
Yeah, you steer that ship. You steer that ship. Do you need help somewhere else? I mean, could it be a benefit, or what you're telling me is you just want them on the phone? That's the role for now.
Well, I mean, we definitely need help in multiple other areas, just around the office, whatever.
Yeah.
But I
yeah
feel like, well, he just seems like he'll do the phones, but he doesn't want to do them for 8 hours a day. And that's where, and he's like, you know, I want to learn some other stuff. And
right,
I'm like, okay, I thought I was hiring a guy to be on the phones.
Yeah. Did you give him a disc test?
I did. He's a very high D, very high I.
Wow. I
yeah,
can, here's the thing. I get that doesn't want to be on the phones for 8 hours a day. You know, can he be really, really effective in four? Yeah, that's,
yeah.
I mean, that's just you'll have to make a business call there. What does your gut say? No, this is what I hired you for? Or, yeah, we can use some
wife,
help over here.
Yeah, the boss over here is like, give him some other work to do, you know, let him do some other stuff. She wants him to start researching more markets in Cleveland and doing some other stuff
uh-huh
here, but
uh-huh
I'm like, it's only his third day. Let's let him stay on the phones for a minute, you know?
That's what I was thinking. Say, hey, if this expands into some other things, great. Let's get some serious momentum on the sales side. Here's the thing. He gets a couple of these at the closing table, and then you cut him the check, and then you can say, or you can come over here and shuffle paperwork for whatever an hour.
Yeah.
He may just say, hey, to heck with that. Put me back on the phone. Give me some good leads.
Give me some good leads.
If anything, it sounds like you need to buy a little time and say, yeah, I think it can probably go that direction, but let's get some momentum.
Right. We need to close some deals. And
yep.
He's all about – he's not – I was looking for a money-hungry guy, and he is money-hungry, but he knows the power of the knowledge. So he's more interested in the knowledge than he is the money. That's the tricky part.
Is this the right person on the team? Let me just ask that.
Yeah, if he's going to stay on the phones and make calls and make sales, then absolutely.
Okay.
So, but he's a sharp
yeah.
guy. I know that his long-term goal is to be a millionaire. You know, he wants to buy buildings. He wants to learn how to do this. He wants to.
Right.
So, but I don't.
That's
I mean,
cool. He could be a great asset. You steer,
yeah.
though, especially 3, 4, 5 days in. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much my update for the week. I'm just
get those two under contract. Get a little agreement in place with the seller that says, you know, just call back and say, here's the deal. The only way we're going to find out what you owe is to get escrow started with the title company. So we need to draw up
yep.
a contract on both. We're going to submit them. They're going to do their research. It's going to come back. We're going to have to adjust the contract. Just start low and then adjust up. Don't tell them you'll pay $80,000 for them and then have to adjust down, right? You're going to want to start low. You know, just ask him, do you have any idea? Are you 2 years behind, 5 years, 10 years? Ballpark it. And
oh,
get an
I see. So we start low. And then when he can't close,
yeah, start with $5,000, $6,500 purchases. But the first thing you have to ask is, it sounds like he doesn't remember. Maybe you have, but do you have, I mean, you know, give me an idea here, Darren. Are you 2 years behind or are you 10 years behind?
Right.
I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
Hey, the county won't tell you.
You remember paying this?
He just won't. Either he won't tell us or he just doesn't know. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm pretty far behind. I don't know. You're
in my market, you can call the county and they'll tell you.
Yeah, what about the county, yeah. Darren?
Well, I think the county will tell us maybe how many years, and then I'd have to figure it. You know, they won't tell me school, and they won't tell me local, and they won't tell me. I guess in this state, it's really weird. I mean, we pay our county everything here in Ohio. But in other places, apparently everybody has a different place that they pay each tax, and they go to a separate department and a separate place and a separate billing schedule.
Just get escrow open with an understanding between you and the seller. That way, just let the title company go figure it out. You don't have to spend time on
Got
the phone
it.
Trying to chase it down.
Got it. Yeah, and if anybody knows a good title company in Pittsburgh, I'd really be excited about that. So.
Anybody on here, one off the top of your head?
Not everybody at one.
Yeah,
all
keep
right.
asking the
I'm
other.
On my own.
Yep, keep asking the other investors. You'll find
okay.
one.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You'll
man.
Find one. Yep. Good stuff. Who else is on? John, I know you're on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mike Riley.
Who was that?
Mike Riley.
Mike, let me get John's update, and then we'll go to you.
Okay.
Oh, make me speak, huh? I hear you.
Yeah, are you feeling any better?
Yeah, I still got this crap, though, man. I'm going to have to go see an ENT or something. They're going to have to flush me out, open me up, turn me upside
down,
let my sinuses drain for about 3 days.
Get you back to normal.
Yeah. But, yeah, I missed the call the other day, man. We have some really serious weather here. We had a tornado
yeah, that's
hit.
That's what it sounded like.
20 miles west of me, and it was just nasty, man. So
yeah.
But sun's shining today, so we got 2 or 3 days of sunshine. So
it's good. How's your VA doing on the phone?
She's doing great. She was sick one day last week. But she's working it, man. I've got some potential. Out of the two offers I made Friday, I just heard back from the seller, and we agreed on one. The other one he's rejected. So he's just getting it confirmed with his wifey.
What do the numbers look like?
This house, man, it's crazy. It's like almost 3,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's a big sucker.
It's 7 bedrooms and 4 baths with a pool.
Holy smokes! What do they want
yeah.
for? Or what do you? What's your verbal?
Well, he paid $59 for it, and he is a landlord / flipper.
Okay.
Not real serious, but he flips on the eastern side of town, where northeastern side of town, where this house is. But he hates
yeah.
the municipality, which is Center Point. Their permit process is really stringent, and anyway. the house needs a lot of work. You know, the VA got, she said, he said it only needs $7,000 worth of work. Well, I go walk the house, man, and it needs updating. It's still got the old 1960s and 70s in-wall oven and the stovetop.
Yep.
I mean, it's a good house, but it just needs everything.
Yeah.
And
it's a big house, too.
Yeah, the ARV's probably, back in the heyday, it probably used to be about 160 or 170, but right now, fixed up, you know, you might get 130 for it, maybe on a good day.
What do you think but that rents for? That's a pretty unique little rental.
Well, here's the thing. I've already had my favorite buyer walk it.
Yeah.
So, and his rehab estimate was $46,500. And
that's high.
Well, he does. They put granite countertops in everything, man. No matter what. I mean, they just do everything all up. And,
yep.
But he gets good prices when he sells them off as turnkeys. But
he offered
me $68,000 on the spot. So the guy paid $59,000 for it. So I called him up and offered him $62,000.
Yeah.
He said, "Well, man, let me check. I've got some." This is a house.
Yeah,
now, Olivia was talking about somebody who has houses that they don't need to sell, but they'll sell it.
Yep.
Well, that's what this guy says. So, and then he's got another house over in, well, first of all, we contacted him about a house he doesn't want to sell, but he has two that, since you called me, even though I don't have a list or anything, and I'm not really wanting to sell them, but you can make me an offer. So, anyway, the other one's on the west side of town in a distressed area, and he rejected my offer in it, which I'd have a harder time getting rid of anyway. But
So
I offer him $62,000, and my buyer, you know, he says, "Well, man, if I have to pay you a little more, I will." So
yeah, I was just going to say that buyer's got to be able to move a little. There's
not too many
seven bed single families come on the market. I mean, there's got to be families in the area that are.
Well, but it's going to be a turnkey rental too, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he can get, he's got to be able to fill that pretty easy with a bigger family that is just really struggling to live.
You're going to utilize you might utilize all bedrooms, but. Well, one of the rooms, you just got to add a closet. It's a 5-3 upstairs and a 2-1 downstairs, and there's tons of room downstairs that's unfinished.
That's crazy. Sounds like a cool place.
Oh, man. To look at this house on the outside, you'd never think it was that big. Never. So Friday evening I talked to him, you know, and he said, "Oh, if I can make three of them, I just hate dealing with CenterPoint, man. They suck, you know, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
So he called me back, he's at 65, and I said, "No, man, I don't know." He said, "Well, you're right. You looked it up, and what 59 is what I paid for it." He said, "But, you know, I had a realtor involved. I'll pay commission. I'll pay closing costs."
Right.
And I told you if I can make three on it and not do anything, then we could probably have a deal. Anyway, so we met at 64.5. And my buyer.
You've got to get the buyer up now a little bit.
Yeah, he's already up 70, so five and a half.
What's closing date?
Well, I got to get the contract ratified first. So.
Gotcha.
I mean, I haven't been off the phone with this guy 20 minutes, and he said, "Since you and I talked," he said, "I just got to get back with the wife." I said, "Well, I need your email address, man, and I'm gonna send you a contract." So.
Right.
He said, "Well, how long does it take?" And I said, "You know, 30-day contract, but we'll close as soon as the title's back." So
nice.
Now I know I need to make more offers, but that's batting 500 because I made two offers last week.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing though. Just ramp that up. Now you've got your gal on the phone.
And on top of that, this other deal we've been waiting should have closed last week. It's just been all kinds of crazy stuff. We had an attorney. The buyer wanted to use a certain attorney. You know, we're an attorney state. But he insists that this attorney use a certain title company. And the attorney, man, it was like for 10 days, you know, I kept calling what's this say? You know, she sent the title commitment. And you know how sometimes it's just, it's legal jargon that you and I don't understand.
Right. Right.
And I said, well, tell me what to tell the seller that we need. Do we need an air affidavits? What do we need? She said, well, I'll send it. So she sends an email back to the title company, and me and my buddy are calling the title company, which we shouldn't be doing because we should be going through the attorney because, you know. Anyway, so we finally talked the buyer into firing this attorney, so we sent it to another guy on Thursday, and he's already getting airship affidavits started today, so that should close this week.
Cool.
And then also, my girl has lined up two other sellers that ended up with multiple properties. So, I mean, I could go on and on, but there's at least probably two deals out of these other two sellers. She's got one person's got six or seven properties, and the other lady's got about five. So some of them are junk,
nice.
But I'm going to look at some tomorrow, and the other lady's down at the beach, and she said when she gets back from her family vacation after the 12th, she's going to get her list, and she went to the spiel about how her ex-husband, this lady's husband, divorced her, remarried, and within 2 months, he was dead. So she was, the divorced lady that I'm speaking with was on all the mortgages. So the new wife wanted the properties, but the old wife took it to court and got them all.
Right.
So.
And now she wants to move them?
Yeah, she said she's older. She said my daughter, she said I deeded them all to my daughter because she's a nurse and she don't have time to fool with them. She said, but I'm the one that ends up doing all the management and getting them fixed. And she said, I'm just sick of it. Now, she didn't tell me this at first. But while she's at the beach, you know, I called her while she's at the beach. She just opened up. I just let her talk, man. She told me the whole story. And
sales 101, right? Let them talk.
It was easy, man. I mean, and I have a hard time with that because sometimes I can get talking. But anyway, so
cool.
But she's got two other houses in the really good areas that my favorite buyers really like. So I feel real good, real positive, and I just need another one of these girls I got on the phone. So,
John, your last handful of deals, have they all gone to the same buyer or two buyers?
Yeah, man, it's just two or three at the most.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew that was a loaded question because I knew the answer, but just trying to for everybody else to hear. I mean, you're moving deals monthly.
You don't need even 12. You don't need 15 or 20.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, if you've got five or six good buyers, just like you said earlier, that is all you need. I mean,
that's
I call them up.
That's why you build a list of 50 so that you can find five or six. So sometimes it doesn't even take that many. But, I mean, you probably make a handful of phone calls and you've got a deal move when it's under contract.
Yeah, there's one hedge fund, this other guy, he bid on the house. And he's just such a jerk, man. He came back at he's going to offer me 72.5, but you know, the last two houses he's looked at, he's cut my rehab budget. He's added whatever I said.
Yep.
He's added 10 or 15 to it, which reduces his offer.
Right.
And I don't have a week to wait on him. The other guy's already walked it, made the offer, and as soon as I get the contract, they're going to the attorney. So.
Sweet.
I mean,
that's
you know,
the other thing too is
I'd rather get it done instead of pissing around waiting on maybe $2,000 more.
Exactly.
I ain't got time for that. So
cash the check and move on. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. You don't have to have a huge buyer's list. You get one, two, or three that are buying on a monthly basis. And then the cool part about it is you've got one that you don't like and one that you do. So you just say why would I create brain damage? I'll just sell it to the buyer that I like. Where, you know, it goes smoother.
Man, and these guys, they're doing, they did 30 this past month.
Yeah.
That's
they're
pretty
serious.
So, yeah.
Buyers like that are all over the place. Just a matter of finding them.
Yeah.
And that's
they
why
got money. They're trying to spend it, you know.
Absolutely. What did you, Do you have any idea how much they have that they're looking to place?
Clayton told me that. Oh, I said his name.
He's the only Clayton in the country, I would imagine.
No, yeah.
How much ballpark?
I don't know, 6 or 7 million.
Yep, and you're doing it 30,000 to 60,000 at a time, and then they're selling them, so they're rolling $6 to $7 million, right?
Yeah, I mean that's why the attorneys can't keep up with him. He's jumping around town because
right.
they can't keep up.
The
with
point
the
is,
because whatever he's buying, he's selling. So if he buys 30,
the point is
it's 60 transactions.
The point is, it doesn't run out. It doesn't run out. And these, there are multiple buyers like this all over the place. So, keep digging. This is why we go to the data. You know, even when you open FreedomSoft and you put in the cash buyer data, which, by the way, quick update, the cash buyer private lender feeds have been down. We're swapping out data providers. I was talking to Steve, our lead tech, today. We're in the home stretch on this data upload. It was like 94 million records are being uploaded, and then there will be a monthly update from our new data provider. So it's just this initial push, obviously. It takes the servers have been chugging all weekend, uploading 94 million records. So that's coming up. But that's why, you know, when you go in there, we just pull the top, you know, pull the first 3 to 5 pages, because those are the multiple deal buyers, and you're looking for those same names to show up. Public records, it's the same. You know, when Rob goes to buy the list in ListSource, he always includes duplicates, because that's one of the options. Exclude duplicates. Always include them. That way, when you have that list, you can see the multiple deal buyers like John's dealing with. I mean, this is one buyer that he can turn on 2 or 3 salespeople probably there in town, and he could move just about every deal to one person.
If I had to fit this criteria, yes. Exactly.
When does the data get uploaded again, so I know when I can have access to that?
Steve thinks he was hoping by tomorrow that it should be live.
All right, perfect.
So, again, it's just a matter of it's just the big initial import, you know, just shy of 100 million records. So
wow.
The servers were working nonstop all weekend getting this import in there. So, anyway, yeah, it'll be good. So, yeah, next couple days. Should be, and you know that's the anticipated. So, but yeah, that's
okay,
it. Find those. I mean, it's okay to move a deal here and there, and as you're building your buyers list, hey, this person wants it. You may or may not sell to them again. But the question is always, you know, when you're talking to either the buyer themselves, you know, hey, how many deals are you looking to buy in the next 6 to 12 months? Because they'll give you an idea. You can also ask, you know, how many have you bought over the last couple of years, right? Just in conversation to get an idea at what level they're playing. And then anytime you're talking to your industry providers, your title companies, you know, any kind of real estate club in town, property managers, they're going to know the names of these people. So, anyway. Who else has an update?
Hey, Mike, real quick.
Yeah.
I've got a campaign question that I need you to answer in the morning.
Okay. That's fine.
It's just, it won't take you but about 3 minutes to tell me what it is. But. All right, man.
Yeah,
try to get a mailer ready.
Email it over to me. Just send it to the coaching email.
Okay.
I just want to send it over.
Who else?
And by the way, I want you to know.
Hey, this is Quinn.
Tomorrow
hey,
at 11.
How's it going, Mike?
Hey, somebody's having a side conversation. Just hit *6. Is that in your office?
Close that door. Yes, Josh talking to a seller.
Tell Josh to
or just down. Running. Or just chatting. He's probably just chatting with somebody.
Nice.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Oh, we are, let's see. I think knock on wood, which means if you could see me, I'm knocking on my forehead. I'm telling Josh they can hear all his stuff through my headset. So I think we get, knock on wood, we've got the buyers. Well, we have one person now working dispositions and two people working acquisitions now.
Nice.
It's funny, one of the guys doing the acquisitions with us, he's an actor. And yep. He was just on season. He's on season 5 of the Netflix show House of Cards.
Okay.
He's a buddy of mine. We've known each other for like 5 years or whatever. So he drove down from New York last week and hung out with us.
Nice.
We can hear
so he's just be. He's just between acting gigs, or he wants to be looking for something else.
Yeah, he was just. Sorry. Josh walked in with his phone again. We've got. He's when you're on set, you just you're waiting 15 minutes, you do something, then you know what I'm saying.
Gotcha. So he's got some downtime.
Yeah. So he's like, and he actually had a real estate license like 10 years ago or something like that, and he's done all kinds of stuff. He's built his own house, up in Maryland, built like a 3,600 square foot house on his own. So he understands the housing. He understands, just a great fit, for acquisitions and stuff like that. He came down last week. So Josh and I had a conversation about a week ago, and we were pushing these guys to do, we had a lot of hoops for people to jump through, but we were also asking them to work for $9 an hour. And so we took away the pay,
yep,
and only did it and just pushed it all to, you only get paid when we close.
Perfect.
And so from that, we hired a girl for acquisitions and a guy, and both of them, are very aware that you're only getting paid if this contract goes to sale.
Yep.
Meaning you put it under contract and then we have to sell it. And so,
right.
And we're offering them $500 for every one we close. And
yep.
Last week we sent out 6 contracts. Altogether, we've gotten 2 of them back, I think, so far. As of Saturday or Friday night at like 10 o'clock, we sent out 6 contracts. We're sending out a $1,000 lot contract right now by the Jaguar Stadium in Jacksonville. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Do you have buyers for the 2 yet?
Buyers for the 2
that are under contract.
Hold on, Josh. I'm gonna put you on speakerphone so Josh.
Okay.
We're hardly ever. It's getting to be more and more though.
What's up, Josh?
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, there you are.
All right. Yeah.
Putting you on speaker. My headset got taken over.
Okay.
So we sent out 6. About to get another one back and 3 more pending. I know one of them we canceled, so I just got a phone with one of the sellers. And then I've also got another one we're sending out today, and then another one that I'm going to mail out to a guy, another older gentleman who only does mail, in about 3 days because he's going to be out of town. So, they're really killing it, doing a good job.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, were these all generated by your 2 salespeople? That's my assumption, but.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, they were
nice.
Totally generated without us, if that's what
yep.
you mean.
That's sweet.
Yeah, and we started them out, so to go back through the process of hiring the people or whatever, we put it out there, hey, we'll pay you $500 on every house you buy, And then we also simplified the process. We took everything out and only had them start out by making calls in FreedomSoft.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Click and make a call in FreedomSoft. And then we added things like the call fire, the call blast. Because he was having – so the data we got from Tulsa was when he was using call fire, which calls 2 people at one time and speeds up the process and all that,
right.
He was getting a lot of dead leads. So, I mean, a lot of people just saying, why are you calling? What do you want? All this kind of stuff. So we recorded a voicemail blast, and then we sent that out. We sent out 100 of the 1,500.
Huh?
300. So we sent out, we sent out 300. He told me 100. So we sent out 300 of the 1,500 numbers that we have. And because we were meeting with him, we were talking, and he's like, man, those Tulsa leads, no, they're not as good as the first leads you gave me in Gainesville. Because the Gainesville leads were postcards we sent out and the people called in.
Right.
And the Tulsa leads were skip trace leads that we had gotten. So when we voice blasted those 300 leads out with a voicemail that said, you know, hey, this is Quinn. We're real estate investors from, you know, looking for local real estate investors looking for property in Tulsa area. You know, please give me a call back if you have any interest in selling your property. So he starts getting like, he got like probably 20 calls and
nice.
You know, 25% of them had some real interest. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So they had to
you took the vacant, skip traced them. And then instead of dialing through, just blast called them all or blast, voicemailed them and then got the inbound response.
Right.
Yep.
Cool. And Rob, anyway. You know, Rob's guy is just, Rob's salespeople are calling through. So another way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
What'd you say you use CallFire for it?
Yeah, we use CallFire.
Yep. To just send a blast voicemail.
It can call up to 100 a minute, and then you can set it on it to retry the people if it misses them.
Right.
Or leave a voicemail. And so what I usually do is I set it to call them like once every 30 minutes or every hour until they get them. And that way I don't miss the people. So then I sit in there and watch it, see how many people is going, and then I'll just watch his phone and see how busy he gets. And then I'll stop it. I'll pause it, and then I can go back in there and start it up again.
Right. And then that thing's watching out for do not call, right?
If it's on the do not call list, it kicks the number out at the very beginning, and we don't even have the opportunity
to call. That's
what
I figured. Yep. Cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's definitely. I mean, a lot of good things happened in the last 10 days. So.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Primarily, the two salespeople that are both on the phone and productive. I mean, that's going
to
ramp things up.
Yeah, it allows us to work some other things that we need to fix. You know, once you speed up the process, that's, you know, that like, so Josh today is working on getting DocuSign up and running. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we can, because we don't want that stop in the process. You know what I'm saying? We need ways that people can get faster, you know, get the contracts back to us, because that's a new problem, you know.
Imagine where you go when you guys spend more time working on the business than in it, right? I mean,
exactly.
That's when the magic kicks in. I mean, you got to get it moving first, right? You got to get some momentum built, get a deal closed, get a couple deals closed. But then as the team starts to grow, this is when efficiency kicks in, because, you know, the salespeople are doing what they do. The dispositions person is doing what they do. And you two get to sit back and say, what does the team need? How can we make their life easier? You know, what's a better system? How do we get more efficient? What if we did this? What if we, you know, blasted out a voicemail? What if we did that? And then you're just feeding them good leads. You know, they're loving life because they're getting deals closed. You guys are loving life. The business is getting more efficient because you're spending time working on it, not in it. And that's when, you know, that's when the scale starts to take over. So you guys are, you know, at the front end of that. It's an exciting time, no doubt.
Yeah. Definitely.
Cool.
Of course, then the holiday kicks in, like it does every month and a half in America.
What's that?
Holidays, July 4th is next week.
Yeah, it is.
Every time we get things up and, like, pushing really hard, then a holiday happens, and it's like, it's, you know, extra business, skip a beat, you know what I mean?
And then here comes Arbor Day, throw a wrench in the whole thing.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always something. Holiday. Like,
oh, funny. Yeah, the momentum will roll through a couple holidays. You know, the Christmas season, Christmas, New Year can be a tough one because it's kind of takes 7 to 10 days. But this is good stuff, guys. You know, again, I was talking about this last week too. We've got some students working towards the first deal, and then you guys are talking at this level. And, you know, wherever you're at, you know, be there.
get the things moving. Josh and Quinn have been at this for a little bit, but you can see some of the magic when, you know, even if you're still a one-person operation, this is really cool for you to hear because this is where you're headed. And it doesn't take a huge team. I mean, John's working with one salesperson and no dispositions. He's got momentum. Quinn and Josh are a two-person team to start. You know, they've been fiddling with a couple salespeople. They tried the hourly gig. You know, hire a salesperson. This is why we were talking disc test. Hire a salesperson and pay them on commission because it'll motivate them. And so, you know, once you make that change, you know, the hunger level steps up a notch. You know, now you guys have two on sales, one on dispositions, and, you know, this is you can take a small team, you can go multiple markets, you know, generate leads in all of them. You know, you guys, I think what'll make sense next is like a lead manager. And that's not really a sales type job. That's somebody that's super organized. Teach them your system. They can run, start managing leads. You know, Rob and Brad have that guy that, that college kid who they hired. Yeah. He came on a free internship and started training bird dogs, posting ads. He took him up over three. He took him to 3,000 vacants in a couple markets inside of a month. I mean, he just stepped on the gas, and it's just because they had a full-time person that they said, do this, here's how you're going to do it, right? You'll teach them your process, and now you can even get out of that where you've got somebody on board. You know, maybe it's just part-time, maybe it's full-time, but now they're generating great leads to feed the sales team. Sales team, we get them under contract to feed the dispositions. So, yeah, what were you going to say?
We talked to a guy named Travis today, and he's 22 years old. He's sold. He has an app that brings in like $200 a month in advertising. He's been doing that.
Uh-huh.
He's been built all this kind of stuff since I've known him his whole life. He's the guy that would do that stuff for us. Like he can. So we got him. I talked to him today about showed him the workflows and stuff like that, all the back office stuff. He's like, man, I love this stuff. This is stuff I live. You know.
Okay. When are you getting him on board?
We met today for the first time, and
nice.
So we're gonna meet again tomorrow. He works for another company in town. He's generated about 10,000 email addresses for that company, and through leads, and they sell vitamins. You know what I'm saying, like natural herbs and stuff like that, or whatever. So So I'm thinking he's ready to go. I mean, he was ready right now. You know what I'm saying? So I think we can push him to do that. And some, you know, he wants to do it. He's already thinking, how can I do this? You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
His dad sold the most real estate of anybody in North Central Florida in 2005, 2006, 2007. Like, I mean, he understands real estate.
Yeah, he's got real estate in his blood. Get him on the team. Yeah. He knows real estate and he knows lead gen.
Marketing.
That's
right.
He loves the lead gen.
Yeah, that's exactly the position. And then here's the thing, guys. Maybe you start them out hourly and just paying them, but there's no reason. You know, Rob and Brad are paying their guy, their college kid, to work. But there's no reason a leads manager that you can't go to them and say, let's get this thing moving. But, you know, let's tie you into a commission structure so that you feed good leads to the sales team. So now they're incented to create good leads. The sales team is incented to close the leads. The dispositions side is incented to do that. And what's cool about real estate is even on smaller wholesale fees, you can pay a team like that and still have a nice payday left over because it's real estate. We're not selling newspapers.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. We can pay him $100, $25, whatever the number is, and he's still, he's still rolling leads.
Right.
On every closing. Only on closings, though.
Mike. This is another thing that I'm tomorrow I'm going over with my acquisitions people. I've been teaching them how to make the offers. So if it's a simple, pretty simple offer with a bunch of houses in the neighborhood, they're selling like it. I'm gonna teach them how to make the offer right there on the phone, and just shoot me over if it's yes or no. And then we'll send them the contract DocuSign right then. So that way the process – because what we ran into a little bit is you know, obviously they make calls day one. They don't all they know is they're talking to people about buying their house. They don't know if 100,000 is a good deal in Tulsa or 20,000. So
right.
They have no idea what sounds good. But I've taught them, you know, been teaching them how to make the offers, and I'm just gonna teach them make the offers. I'll review it. If it's good, we'll send it out DocuSign. Be a DocuSign right away.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly, and it won't take long, and they'll have their pulse on it, and they'll just bring you a deal that says, "Hey, I just tied up this one at, you know, 30 grand. This one at yada yada yada," and they'll just be talking the language.
Yeah,
moving it on over. Yeah. You know, when you get a guy like Chris, and Chris, lead sales guy for Rob and Brad, he had some background. You know, he's bought some houses. That's the other thing. You know, when you're hiring, you may find somebody that, you know, has tried to be an investor. They maybe just couldn't get all the pieces together and they're wired right. You can get them back in real estate and they know something. You know, it doesn't have to be that way, but, you know, Chris just knows. I mean, he just knows formulas now, and he just pulls deals. Obviously, Brad and Rob step in if they need to and say, you know, hey, you know, we're 5 grand too high on this. But for the most part, Chris just tees them up and sends them over to dispositions, and you know, they closed, I think it was 5 more last week, and it's just, I mean, that's where you guys are at. Get this leads person in play. Sometimes I think and we were talking about this last week, last Thursday on office hours, but sometimes the tendency is, okay, I'll bring in a salesperson, and then let me get them comfortable and trained, and then 3 months down the road, I'll bring in dispositions, and then let me get this person trained, and then leads. Just bring them on board.
There you go.
That's the thing is, you guys have a system in place where you can teach
right.
it really quick and just feed the machine and
right,
let it
right,
start
right.
doing what it does. And, I mean, you have 2 salespeople that you need to feed a constant stream of great leads to.
2 coaching students?
So that is going to become your full-time gig unless you bring somebody else in and train them quick, because 2 people are going to go through some numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what you want them to do. So
we have like 4,000 leads in our back office going all the way back to
gotcha. So you can keep them busy for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And those are all leads so we got leads that are almost a year old we've already started giving them some of those leads, and that's what we give them first.
We got contracts on that.
And we got contracts. We're getting contracts on leads that we got from January. You know what I'm saying? Because
yep.
Josh and
yep.
I got bogged down and couldn't, you know, it's stupid. We got money. I mean, we got in our list, in our buyers and sellers list, just in our sellers list alone, we got so much money sitting there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if we, honestly, I'll tell you the truth right now, Mike, if we didn't make a dime off of everything we've done, of course, I'm never shooting for that, but if we just took if we took all of our old lists and it cost us every bit of that to get the system up and running, it'd be worthwhile. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, if we made 50 grand off of old, you know, basically leads we haven't even looked at, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are right there, and that's what I'm saying. Get this leads person on board, because now you see you want to scale this into another market. You want to double the size of the sales team and take it to 4. You can go now with just a couple pieces in place and the know-how, right? You've already been through it. You just repeat it. This is how you start to go with a pretty modest-sized team. This is how you start to push 5, 10, 20 closing deals, you know, closings a month. I mean, Rob has coached multiple students to, you know, $100,000 months. We've got one guy, his name's Brad, and he actually lives here in Colorado, but he likes to travel. So he's doing it from, I talked to him over the summer. His team did 100 grand that month, and he was over in Holland or something.
Nice. All right.
And that's what's also really cool about the business is how you can be anywhere. I mean, you don't just have to be anywhere in the States, live overseas if you want.
Well, I was in Dallas last week for 5 days. I was in Israel for 10 days last month, and I was in Mexico for a week the month before that. This is Quinn.
Yeah, good to be you, Quinn. I love it.
Yeah. You got to.
I mean, that's going to happen even more so. I mean, you've got the team. Get leads on lockdown. get the sales team, which it sounds like is moving, you know, really moving in the right direction, and get dispositions.
You know,
and you guys working on the business.
My son signed up for he just turned 19 in January, so he just got his he was working with us and trying to get some things going, but he wants to do everything himself. And so he ended up signed up for FreedomSoft a couple of months ago, and he just sold his sixth property, just turned 19 in January, just sold his sixth property since he was 17 last weekend. And so his last deal, he's $20,000 on. He's 19 years old.
Right.
So for the people on the phone, it's not that hard. So.
That's incredible. Hey, y'all. Teach him now that it's better to get somebody else in place than do it all yourself.
He's already hired two of his buddies that are home from college, and they're doing acquisitions for him right now.
Unbelievable.
So one of them's doing acquisitions. One of them's doing the tech stuff. So.
Way ahead of the curve. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a cool story. Good stuff.
Yeah,
stay on the gas, guys. This is, as you know, this is go time. Get the team built. Get your, you know, if it's this young kid or not, get somebody on board to run leads, and then just turn these people loose and let the power of commission. Now, I heard you say you're paying $500 a deal, and you're probably familiar with Rob and Brad. They pay on a sliding scale, 10 to 20%. And, you know, a couple schools of thought on that, but your sales team, your acquisitions team, these are the rainmakers of the world.
Yeah.
You know, Rob was on here, not Swanson, Rob that's in coaching, and he was he ran a sales team for a while. And he had a handful of top ones that were making more than he did at the time. And he said, you know, I'm fine with that. Because that's you want to feed the engine that's turning them on, and those are good salespeople. So I'm not saying $500 a deal is wrong. I'm saying if you've got rock star salespeople, incent them, you know, without going out of business, but make it make sense financially to keep them on board.
Right. Yeah, and that's what Josh and I were talking about. We were like, you know, $500, $750, and $1,000. You know, with a minimum profit on every deal, you know, and $500 up to five deals, so or four deals, so that's 20, you know, $2,000 a month. And, you know, the guy that
we got,
he's doing one a day. So.
When Chris came out and lit it up, that was he's in Arizona, but he came out to Colorado for a couple weeks just to, you know, work in the office. They did some training with him. That kind of thing. It took, you know, he made a little progress week one, made a bunch of progress week two, but he was north of a $15,000 month, and that's what.
Right.
So that's how they're, you know, they're paying him up to. I mean, basically, sky's the limit. Knock yourself out. You want to keep it, you know, keep it rolling at 20%. So anyway, different ways to do it.
Yeah,
if they're strong, pay them to stay.
Yeah, like I said, that's what it just makes
sense. Yep.
That's problem number whatever that we need to solve. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Who else?
Hey, Mike. This is Naif.
What's going on?
Not bad. Actually, we've been closing. We just closed the deal today.
Cool. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So you know. Our skip tracing has been a bit of an issue, so we're still trying to troubleshoot that. So instead, we went with mailers and we did a, you know, one online campaign. So with one of the mailers, we got a deal. This guy, he just wanted to get rid of his property really badly because he had tax reasons. So we bought it for the tax. We got it for $6,000 with all the taxes that were due on it. We sold it for $10,000. That's about, you know, $3,000-$4,000 in profit. And then we also got this other deal. This guy was, you know, he's going through surgery and a bunch of other things, and he wanted to get rid of his property. And this one's also in Cleveland. And this was a nice one because he was selling it for $70,000, but I got it on contract. And we sold it for 90, and we're going to be closing that this week by hopefully by Friday or early Monday next week.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. And we have been working together a little bit on their skip trace leads. There was I won't go into detail, but some of the public records when we went into what's the county there? Cuyahoga. Yeah, for mailing address on the homeowner, they're listing lien holders. So anyway, we've been going back and forth on that, but you know, Naif and his business partners are focused and so kept their foot on the gas. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, and then I mean, definitely we're gonna solve this skip tracing issue because I still believe it.
We'll get to the bottom of it because we know it works.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And also, the good thing is that because of the Driving for Dollars and everything, the people that we're working with during Driving for Dollars, and now they're doing the open houses for all these properties, and that has made such a big difference. Because he's really good at marketing, and then he had, he's in good, I'm like, listen, make sure that the buyers don't talk to the sellers, but, you know, stay close to the seller and, you know, talk with him. And then the seller was telling my guy that, you know, full of guy wanted to cut me a deal and gave him another offer and was starting to email him because he was offered by other cash buyers, so-called cash buyers in the region before we reached out to him. And then he was showing actually my guy who was doing the open house that, look, these guys are emailing me. But when I was trying to sell my property, they were lowballing me. So they were giving him offers like $40,000, $30,000. And I got a contract for 70, and then those guys still are like, no, we're going to give you, go back to the seller, talk to them, get it for 65 or something. And I'm just like, there's no way, because I did the comps and everything, the numbers made sense, and buyers jumped on me.
I love it.
Yeah. So,
I love it. Hey, if you can run open houses, I think it's a great strategy. I think the more buyers you can get there, the merrier, the merrier the urgency. You don't have to do it, but it's a cool strategy. But try and keep the seller out of there and just tell them, hey, you don't have to show up. Let us go around and show what we do. So, if possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ideally we want to get, I want to improve my strategy where we are able to do the whole lockbox and would keep the seller out. But, just the way it worked, I just wanted to be able to close because we needed a win. We had a month and quite...
That's a killer week. When's the $20,000 book to close?
Hopefully by Friday or Monday. It's just that with the deal and those long weekend coming up and everything, things have been a bit slower. So that's that. And then we got another property, and that's because we originally used to do it in Baltimore, and I got another property under contract, and I'm working with a realtor as well over there because you guys told me to contact a lot of realtors. And I'm like, that's a great idea, and I got to reestablish some of my connections with the old realtors I've worked with and I've spoken with before. So, she went to the seller, talked to them, and be like, listen, these guys are for real. These are legit. And the moment she showed up and spoke to him, he signed the contract within 5 minutes, sent it back to us, and he's happy to work with us as well. So, that's another deal. That's probably another $10,000. So,
I love it.
This is exactly the momentum I wanted.
Here's the thing, you guys. You guys went through some legitimate frustration, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
And we've had some conversations outside of it. Naif has two business partners. They're super motivated, but people run into stuff. Some of you have run into it, earlier on. Some of you are going to bump into it. It's part of it. And what matters is, staying in touch, push through it, persistence wins. Let's get to the bottom of whatever was going on with the data, because that's just going to add another stream to, to these leads or these deals that you guys have coming in. And then it's amazing because all of a sudden it's just started to break through, right?
Exactly.
And you go from
a little
bit frustrated to now a deal closed, another deal closing in a week, and another $10,000 deal under contract. And it's just, if you're feeling a little bit stuck or a little bit frustrated, obviously we've got to put some good, if there's an issue, we have to find it. Right.
Exactly.
But really it's the persistence, to push through. You know, we talk, I share it on every orientation call that just says, there's something about life that when you point yourself in a direction and say, that's where I'm going, things try and jump in your way. It just is what it is. But persistence wins. And so,
and I mean,
you know,
everyone on the call and everything, just to let you know, if they don't know who I am, is like, I've joined this coaching call about 3 months ago. We're frustrated as heck. And while we're on the call and working with, Mike, it was horrible. We went through so much. And the other thing is that the most important thing I learned from you guys, which has paid off so much, is the amount of honesty you guys have taught us. And I am so clear about it from now on. And
yeah,
it just makes us look way more legit than the other pseudo gurus we followed beforehand. But, you know, thank you so much for everything. And I hope we can continue working and solve this skip tracing issue, because that I still want to solve that problem.
Absolutely. Because you're going to close deals from it. So it's just a matter of getting to the bottom of it. But this is, I mean, Naif, you and your two business partners, right? This is when you get out of the business. So I don't remember when you checked into the call tonight, but you heard John's got a salesperson, Darren has a salesperson, Quinn and Josh have two salespeople, a dispositions person. They're about to hire a lead manager. This is the stuff that when there's an issue, and you have the time to work on the business, this is why you have to get out of it eventually. If you're working in your business now, that's perfect. But it's so valuable for you to hear the conversations about the students who are working now or making the transition to working on their business, because if there's a log jam and that's your main job is to work on the business, you're going to identify it sooner. You'll implement a solution quicker, right? It won't cause near the frustration because you're just going to say, you're spending time up on the seat saying, where's the holdup? Here's the solution, implement it, and then the team keeps moving forward. And so, you know, when you have the blinders on working in the business, it's really hard to see some of that stuff. And that just is what it is. So anyway, this has been a really valuable journey. I know it's been frustrating.
Yeah.
Really frustrating at times, but it's cool for people to hear that, hey, push through. Frustration's a part of it. I mean, you guys, you're all trying to create something that the world wants, but nobody has. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody, but millions and millions and millions and millions of people say, I want to be a real estate investor. And they kind of go at it like it's a hobby, or they kind of half rear end it. Right. And only because this is being recorded, but you know what I'm talking about. But they want to build what you're all after. And so, you know, you're the small group that's saying, I'm really, really committed to this thing. And so my point is, if it was quote unquote super easy, everybody would have it. And the fact is that they don't. So fundamentally, is it fairly simple? Yeah. I mean, there are some moving parts, but anybody can learn it. What separates the people who actually build something, the ones who don't, is how many barriers are you willing to jump over,
to
jump through, push through, run around to go get it? Because it's easy to quit. It's easy to quit.
And like, I've had a couple of other people that, you know, well, we tried to work with before in the, you know, earlier on this year, because, you know, we just couldn't get any momentum or closing any deals for that matter. And we've been hustling like crazy. And now they're like, wait, you guys are closing deals virtually. How are you doing it? And I'm like, well, when I asked you guys to help me out, you know, you guys weren't there. And, you know, so they're surprised that I can even do this virtually without ever stepping there. They're like, oh, no, you got to come to this, you got to come to that. And they're just surprised that this is happening. So, and, you know, with this momentum, this couple of big deals, this is exactly what we needed. And, wow, it's a long time coming.
I love it.
Nice job, Naif.
Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Really cool, you guys. That's a killer story, because it's legit. I mean, you can hear it in Naif's voice. There was legitimate frustration.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you guys thought about what the heck are we doing? We've spent money. This isn't working. Back's against the wall. And the fact of the matter is, you push through. And here's what changes. What changes now is, the next time something tries to get in your way, you guys are just going to say, you know what? Been there, done this. We know what this feels like. Let's identify the problem and let's blow through it. And 9 out of 10 people get stuck turn around, go back to something else, quit, say it doesn't work. Now you guys, I mean, this is a big deal. This experience pays off for as long as you call yourselves investors, and it'll roll over to anything else that you try. So stick, you know, stay to it. I love hearing the success stories. It's a big deal.
Thanks.
The big deal. Who else has an update for us? Questions?
Hal.
I have a quick question.
Yep. Hal, jump in, and then who said they have a quick question?
I want to have a quick question.
Okay. Yeah, let's get a Hal's update quick, and then go ahead, Hal.
Sure.
Well, I've been frustrated over the weekend, and I'm working on it, but I didn't have any FreedomSoft for 4 days. It just wasn't doing any leads. It did get it corrected over the weekend, but I'm still having problems with that home snap, and I was wondering if maybe I could talk to you briefly tomorrow because I can't get anything on there. It just doesn't work.
Yep.
And
yep. Email me. I'm guessing you're on an Android.
No,
you're on an iPhone?
I'm on both because I bought an iPhone. I can't get it to work either.
Okay. Hal, email me right now or as soon as we're done, two or three times that work for you tomorrow, and then I'll confirm one of them in the morning. We'll jump on the phone. Because I can I can walk you through iPhone simple. I'll show you
okay.
how it works. Yep.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah, you're welcome. And then who had a quick question? Was that Darren?
Yeah, about the open houses and maybe how much how do you incentive or what kind of incentives do you give to the bird dog to hold the open house for you?
Yeah, Naif, how did you pay him and what did you pay him?
Okay, so the way I'm working right now, you know, we're kind of like shooting from the hips right now because so I'm paying him $25 for every open house he's holding. And so far we held three open houses, and the first one, whoever came, the second one they bought in their contractors. So far in less than 7 days, the way we marketed it is a bit different also because, you know, we're marketing it in every way, Zillow, Trulia, Craigslist, you name it, we're there. We made sure that we get it as many faces as possible. So in 7 days, we got 8 buyers in there. And the other thing is, yeah, so we pay him about $25. And then once the deal closes, I'll pay him a certain portion as well. And if the big one closes, we're going to pay him a much bigger amount because I want him to be happy. He likes working with us. He's one of the most professional people I've ever worked with, and I want him around for a long time.
Keep him on the team. That's killer.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's the thing, you guys. We're talking about real estate, and, you know, you hear some of these checks. We throw in real estate, we're so – I mean, let's throw this in perspective. We throw around $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 paydays like it's – we don't even blink. We're like, you made what? Oh, cool, nice job. I mean, we've turned – I mean, Darren, you have that one that's like $35,000. We're talking about – I mean, what's a starting teacher's salary? Isn't it like 38, 37, 38, 36? I mean, I know it depends on where you go, but we're talking about Darren's going to have less than 5 hours into this deal. He's got some know-how, and he's going to turn a $35,000 payday. And it runs in and out of my head too. Like, hey, that's a sweet deal. But we don't even flinch at it. I mean, after a while, we hardly get excited about it. I mean, it's cool, but we throw around these incredible numbers. So here's my point: you can hire extreme talent. And then you can afford to pay that talent. And here's the key. You get a rock star on your team, pay them enough that they can't afford to leave. How about that?
Yeah.
Don't just get them by. If you get a rock star on your team, and the more your businesses start to move, the more they're going to be attracted to you, and they're going to start coming out of the woodwork. It's just going to happen. People want to be a part of something of something that's going somewhere. And a lot of the stories that I'm hearing tonight, these businesses are starting to ramp up, and so people are going to start to find you. And so that puts you in a position where you get to sort through the talent pool. And as you do that, you're going to be able to pay people, like I just said, enough that they can't afford to leave. And that puts you in a cool position because you're going to bring some rainmakers on the team. You know, you'll be able to hire people who are more talented than you all are. And that's a big deal.
And another thing, if I could share, you know, for everybody else who has, especially us, you know, I never was able to bring 8 buyers in a property in less than 5-6 days. And then, you know, and the other thing was that a lot of them are not even real buyers. That's why a couple of them are, you know, I don't know what they are, because one other thing we did is that, you know, if it's for 100,000 property, I put an EMD down for 3,000, because if you're not going to be able to put down 3,000, you either don't have the money or you're not for real, or you're going to be double closing on me and doing some other funky deals on me. So, you know, if buyers negotiating EMD with me or negotiating the price beyond a certain point, I don't deal with them because I'm, for the first time I had a choice of choosing my buyers, which has never happened before. So
that's a cool place to sit, right? Here's the thing too, is you'll get to, you know, we were talking to John earlier on this call, Naif, I don't know if you were on yet, but John has moved, he's closing multiple deals a month and he's moving them to 2 buyers in town. And so we were having the conversation, you have 6 legit buyers that have money to spend always that are buying on a monthly basis. You won't have to do open houses. This gets easier. Wait till you get some repeat customers that come back and you call them up and say, you know, I mean, I call you and say, hey, Naif, I got another one. Here's the neighborhood. Here's the price. You know, this is right in your wheelhouse. Tell me if you want it. And they just say, yeah, I'll take it. And it's just, you'll move it with less than a 5-minute phone call when you start to build relationship with these people. It just gets easier as you go. You know, clearly when you launch a new market, you're trying to meet those buyers and you're trying to build a relationship with them. But once you have a handful of legitimate buyers in a couple different markets and you've got, you know, your acquisitions is consistent, or your marketing, your sales team is consistent, your dispositions person is consistent. I mean, the numbers can go from, hey, we're really frustrated, to $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month fast. I mean, it just, this is why people are drawn to real estate, this massive potential that it has. And so you push through some frustration starting to step into it. It's cool. Who else has updates or questions? A lot of momentum on the call today. I want to talk to you if you're on here and maybe you're at that frustrated point, or you're saying, what the heck am I doing wrong? Why, you know, stay the course. I mean, if you think there's an issue, ask a question about it. Get your questions answered. Yes, we want to point you in the right direction, or they don't do this, do this, or let's modify this, let's tweak this a little bit. But you see how, you know, keep pushing forward. It can turn, and when it does, a lot of times it turns quick. And then it gets really fun, and then it's a matter of, you know, keeping your foot on the gas. So, Naif, you guys got to be having the conversation with your team. I know that the three of you want to transition out of your jobs. Who's going to run what? When are you going to bring somebody else in? I'm telling you that you're going to want to grow the team quicker than you probably think.
Right.
You know, you can pay your salespeople at closings, so you're not coming out of pocket. But that way, that gets you three out of the day-to-day.
Right.
You can start working on the systems. You guys are systems guys anyway with your background and your job. So systems, automation, technology – I mean, you guys can just build things that cater to your team, and that's really when the scale starts to kick in. So
I mean, like, because our goal is that, you know, as soon as the account in our because when we joined the coaching team, we had about, I don't know, maybe $14,000-$15,000, and you know, if we didn't close deals, this was it. Like, we're our back against the wall, and I wanted to quit this month. Hopefully, I'll be quitting next month. But as soon as the account hits $50,000, it's done. I'm out.
Cool.
We're all out.
Cool.
And
cool.
It's so close. And
I love it.
It's been
hard. It's right there. Hey, hard work pays off. It really does.
One more month's not going to hurt you.
No, you know what? Here's what's so cool about it. When it costs you something, it just means more. Right. And then as the team starts to grow, or you guys are going to get approached, all of you, you're going to get approached by other people that said, man, if I could just do what you're doing, and it's going to put you into a different role in somebody's life. And then you can speak from, here's what we went through, here's what we experienced, here's how we pushed through it. And those words are going to have, you know, they're going to land with meaning. So, you know, experiences are there to help. Even the ones that suck while we're in them, you know, this journey thus far will pay itself back to you multiple times over. No question. It always does. Who else? Any other questions? Updates?
It's Mike Riley, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I've gotten to the point where I realize now that 3-second snip in the second video was the one that I was missing.
Yep.
But we've cured that, thank goodness.
Beautiful.
And you asked a question about where I was going to, what market I was looking for.
Yep.
Since I've got to be remote, I can't do anything in my backyard. I've got relatives that live in the area, just the suburbs north of Pittsburgh.
Perfect.
So I'm wondering, maybe that's, and they're, one of them is a title attorney, and another one
yep.
is a realtor, and maybe we can get some synergy going there if that doesn't sound like a bad plan to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a couple other in Pittsburgh, too, that I can think of, but big city, tons of deals. Yeah, and, it's just a matter of time, Mike, before you tie one up and either move it through or move it to somebody else here that's on the line.
Sure.
So, yep.
Great. Thank you.
So, Mike, I want you to bypass step two and go right to step three, okay? We'll fill in step two later, but go right into starting to generate leads. You see where this goes. So we got to get leads in the door and get you
okay.
on the phone ASAP, all right?
Okay, thanks. I'm going to be traveling for the next 4 or 5 days, but I'll try to be doing this in the dead times.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, you see where this goes.
Okay.
This is,
thank you very
yeah.
much. I'll stay on three.
Absolutely. Yep. Good stuff.
Mike, I have a quick question. If you said, like, for to do the open house thing, if I want the seller up, well, does my guy get a key from the seller, or do we put a lockbox
yep.
on it, or how do you do that?
Yeah, we prefer lockbox. Here's the thing: whenever you're presenting this to somebody new, just present it. Knife. Here's what we typically do: I don't need to waste your Saturday. Let me send my team over there. We'll do an open house. We'll get some buyers inside. If you can either stash a key, I've even got. You know, my runner there on site can go put a lockbox. Of course, we'll give you the code to it, and we can park a key in there. Let us handle the open house. You know, we'll just do what we do. You go enjoy your Saturday. That's how we typically do it. Does that sound okay with you? So just
okay.
say, just present it like that. Here's how we do it. Does that work for you, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're always spelling out benefit to them. There's no need for you to come by. We'll handle it. You know, we want to make this as easy as possible, take up as little of your time as possible and solve this problem for you. So, and for the most part, we've never had one with the seller there, but
okay.
yeah, you saw some of the things that can happen, you know,
exactly.
someone comes to the table, and they try and undercut you, you know, make note of that stuff. There are, I go to an open house and the seller's there and I've got, you know, a wholesaler in the house that's legit and they're still selling me a good deal. I'm not trying to go around their back. I'm just saying, hey man, this is a good price. I'll take it. Weed those people out. They're just going to cause headache anyway. If that's what they're doing right up front, but you can avoid some of that by just taking care of it and keeping it out of there.
Would go to the seller, pick up the keys, or do I tell the seller to put up the lockbox? That way he's more comfortable doing
it. You guys provide the lockbox. Do as much as you can so that the seller basically has a killer experience.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
think of if you're a realtor and you have a potential seller, you're going to cater to this person in hopes of future business. And then we call ourselves real estate investors and we find a seller and we treat them as a transaction or we look at them as a $10,000 payday. These people know other people in the neighborhood, other people with deals, friends, family. Treat them like, this is my client, this is my seller, I plan on you bringing me future business. So take care of as much as possible, right? your afternoon's kind of tied up. Oh, cool. Can I send somebody on my team down there to get the paperwork signed? I'll just bring them to your house. Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
Treat them that way.
Yeah, I mean, I want to give them a great service for sure.
Absolutely, because you never know who else they know or what else. Sometimes you won't even know about the five other houses they own until you buy that one and they see how that one went. You just never know. So yeah, view it like that. Take care of it and make it as easy on them as possible. That's the way Rob has always done it. He still does to this day. He showed me a picture 3 weeks ago. He goes, "Here's our bird dog. We turned him into a property runner. They snapped a little selfie while the homeowner was signing the contract." Now, you know, be discreet about that. Clearly, does the homeowner appreciate a selfie of a contract? I don't think so, but they were pretty discreet about it. But they were just, "Hey, let's make this as easy as possible. How about we send our guy out there and he can just come right to your house. You won't even have to leave. Sit in your pajamas if you want," right?
Right. And because I'm working with one of the deals, I'm working with a realtor. And, and the way, I'll pitch it then, I guess, to the seller is like, "Listen, we'll put the lockbox on. The realtor will come and pick up the keys. We'll tell you what the lockbox key code is. We're going to take care of it, everything from now on. And whatever you have to do, you will contact me. And, you know, I'll give you all the information and just call me anytime."
You got it. Say, we're going to do our best to make this as easy on you as possible. So here's how we typically do it.
Okay,
and then,
got it.
Yep, lay out your process and say, "Does that sound good for you?" Perfect. And then, yep, you just handle it. And that way, a little bit easier to have the conversation, especially, you know, buyers start throwing numbers on the table or this, that, and the other. You don't want buyers going to the seller, and you don't want the seller hearing other numbers being thrown around other than what you have under contract, right? So, rule of thumb, just see if, you know, do your best to keep those separated. So,
yeah.
And again, not because you're trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. That's never the motivation. The motivation is let's give the buyer a fair price, the seller. Go find the buyer, do what you do, but they don't ever need to meet. You're the contact you want that seller going to if they hear of somebody else that needs to sell. So.
And also over the weekend, I think we were asking about the double close thing. And then, you know, I spoke to as many people as possible. And I realized that for a real buyer, it shouldn't matter that much. And I've had some people tell me, like, when you send the purchase contract, you can, you know, remove the price, but send the purchase contract if you're going to sign it. So, you know, these are the different things I heard, because with the double close, there's a lot of other issues with it. And it's a lot of other moving parts, which I'm not really ready to do, and given the short time span,
it could cause an issue. We were just always upfront about it, and that's the thing. If I'm a buyer and you're giving me a legit deal, I don't have a problem with you making money. Why would I? If you go out of business, you quit calling me with good deals. If you stay in business and you're legit, you keep feeding my business, right? So. Mm-hmm. That's the way Rob taught me about it from day one. That's the way we've always viewed it. Now, we used to double close all the time back in the day because we had to. I mean, we were, you know, the market had just crashed. We're buying REOs. A bank is the owner, and they're not allowing an assignment. So when the market turns, and you guys are, you know, working a different strategy because it'll crash again. Who knows when, but it'll crash. Foreclosures will go up, and you'll start buying out of the MLS. You just make offers on it. You're going to have to double close them because the bank isn't going to allow an assignment. So we prefer the assignment. We double closed back in 8, 9, and 10 because we had to.
Okay.
Just a side note. But, yeah, we prefer the assignment. And we would, honestly, when we had a buyer showing up, we would, especially as you get to know them, say, "Hey, man, I've got this thing under contract at 70, looking to move it at 90. Numbers should still work for you." Bam, 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 bam. And we would just tell them. So it wasn't, you know, we took the potential roadblock and just threw it on the table so that they knew it beforehand. So now there are no surprises in the game, right? And now, you know, you guys will play it right. I mean, you're the ones in the middle of the situation. But, you know, especially as your relationship starts to grow with these buyers, we just throw it on the table.
And because, you know, before joining the course, we actually tried to do the REO approach, and then we realized that, you know, they have only 5 days. Usually the banks don't get more than 5 days of, you know, checking.
Inspection. Yep. Inspection
period. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's inspection period. So unless we had serious buyers who can move these properties, there's no point doing it. And we didn't have, like, serious buyers at that time. And the other thing is that, you know, why would then the buyer buy from me an REO property? I mean, wouldn't he know that's an REO property?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay, okay.
Not necessarily. Nope. You would be amazed. You guy, right, you go through the program here, you start to learn how to generate leads, you get around the conversation, and I did the same thing. The tendency is just to assume, well, every other investor knows this. They know how to do this. Surely they do, right? They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. Yeah, your knowledge base is up being around the group here. It happens to everybody, just you know, being a part of the curriculum and the conversation. And, they just don't.
And do you send the same purchase contract to the buyer as you used with the seller or when you double close? Because
depends. If there are no agents involved, yes. We just use a typical 1 to 2 page, the one that's in the coaching center, both sides of the transaction. If there's a realtor involved, like back 2008, 9, and 10, every contract to buy was on the 17-page Colorado State real estate contract.
Okay.
So it just depends who's involved. But if we have, you know, Joe and Sally Seller or whoever it is, and we're just buying from them, no realtors, no nothing, that one-page contract, and then typically an assignment, or if it's double closing, the same one-pager to the end buyer.
Okay.
Yep. You got it.
But what if they ask you, like, well, technically we don't own the property, so how can I be sending somebody, the buyer, a purchase contract when, you know, I don't even own the property?
Yeah, you own the contract, but on a double closing, you do get put in chain of title.
Okay.
That's another thing to pay attention to, everybody, is, you know, they're cracking down on some people that they have a contract and then they're advertising they have a property for sale. You don't. You have a contract on a property for sale. Buy my contract. So make sure you're congruent with what you're advertising in your speak, because they've some local, you know, local governments, that kind of thing. The Real Estate Commission is a big lobby. They think, you know, a lot of times wholesalers are brokering without a license. So, advertise what you actually have for sale.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, in our email and everything we send on the Craigslist or whatever, we say, we're selling the contract for this. I mean, flat out.
You got it.
I mean,
absolutely.
I don't have time to even discuss this.
You got it. Because if you just have a contract, you don't have a property for sale. Not technically. You can sell the contract, though. So any further questions about that, send us an email. Rob is super knowledgeable on the topic. Obviously, he's not an attorney, but, play by the law of the land. If the area seems gray, don't go there. So, well, good stuff. Great questions as always. Having, really, really high-level conversation, which is really fun to be a part of. So keep your foot on the gas, everybody. Again, any questions, let us know where you're at. Bring them into the coaching center. Let's make it a great couple days. I'll look for good updates on Thursday. And we'll chat soon. Hal, I think you're sending me an email. I think that's my only follow-up from today. Shoot me an email with a few times tomorrow, and we'll figure out HomeSnap. Everybody have a great afternoon. Have a great couple days. And we'll chat soon. Sound good?
Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, take care.